The Israel Report for the latest news and insights with Anthony Reich.
Anthony Reich, good morning. So before I even let you get started, it is International Sandwich Day. We're asking listeners and our correspondents, what's their favorite sandwich? What would yours be?
Well, in Israel, we've got this wonderful sandwich called an omelette sandwich.
Ooh.
And it comes with obviously an omelette inside, often some cream cheese, pickled cucumber, tomato. Delicious. It's not one of those that you find regularly elsewhere. I don't know if you guys have come across an omelette sandwich, but I definitely go for omelette sandwiches. I like eggs.
Oh, yeah, I think so. Always a very, very good choice in a sandwich. All right, let's talk about what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Yeah. So a few things before we get into the meaty things. Another report this morning about Israeli attacks against targets in Syria, this time on the outskirts of Damascus. Apparently damage was caused by a missile attack. And in fact, there were even reports of soldiers being killed from the Syrian armed forces, apparently 5 soldiers. No details of exactly what the target was that was attacked on this occasion. And this comes hot on the heels of an attack that was also attributed to Israel a few days ago, this time in the Quneitra area. So this is becoming kind of almost a weekly event now, should I say. We don't always talk about it, but Israel still remains extremely active in monitoring the movement of arms and ammunition within Syria, most of which is coming from Iran and much of it of which is moving towards Hezbollah in Lebanon, but also some of it remaining, of course, in the southern area of Syria, and giving Iran much more of a base in that southern Syrian area, which of course Israel is very sensitive to. And then just another little economic thing. The shekel has become, has reached its strongest levels ever when compared to a basket of foreign currencies. We have this basket that's made up of different foreign currencies, and there's a rate that the shekel has against the basket of currencies. And in the last few days, the shekel has reached its strongest ever rate against the basket of currencies. So this really means not that other currencies are necessarily weakening or individual currencies are weakening, but rather that the shekel is really strengthening, has really strengthened. And the current exchange rate against the US dollar, 3 shekels 13. I think it's like a 25-year high. The exchange rate against the South African rand, just a drop under 5 rand to the shekel, against the euro, 3 shekels 63 to the euro. Very, very, very strong indeed. Doesn't make it easy for visitors coming here, those people who want to take advantage of the new opening up for tourists to come and visit Israel. Doesn't make it easy. Things are enormously expensive as a result of that. Lots and lots of speculation as to exactly why the shekel is so strong. But really, it's all about a very, very strong Israeli economy right now, and lots of inflows of foreign currencies, particularly companies that are having these huge exits when companies get sold out to foreign companies and employees get all of these dollars for selling their shares. And then they buy shekels with the dollars in order to use it in Israel. It puts more demand in for the shekel and, of course, increases the value of the shekel enormously strong at the moment.
Yeah, it's phenomenal what is happening there. Let's just talk about the vaccines for children in Israel. Israel moving a step closer with the U.S. now approving vaccines for children. I think it's aged 5 to 11 or 5 to 12.
That's correct. So the U.S. FDA, the Food and Drug Administration, already granted its emergency use authorization of the vaccine on Friday last week. Yesterday, the CDC, which is the U.S. Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, unanimously supported broad use of the Pfizer vaccine for children aged 5 to 11. Essentially, what they've approved is a 1/3 strength dose, as opposed to the dose that's been given to adults. 30 micrograms has been given up until now to people aged 12 and over, and the FDA has approved use of a 10 microgram dose, for 5 to 11-year-olds. And what the CDC said is that the benefit that the vaccine brings outweighs the risk associated with children taking it. That's essentially what they've said, that the risk of children catching corona is more serious and more risky, higher risk, than any risk that's associated with administering the vaccines. Apparently, there has been some discussion about rare cases of heart inflammation, which have been linked to the vaccine. But the conclusion is that these concerns are not strong enough to prevent its use within children. And in fact, there is overall greater advantage to actually rolling this out, and that Israel is very, very likely to begin its rollout within the next week or 10 days. And children 5 to 11-year-olds will be offered the vaccine. Obviously, it will need parental supervision and consent. Children won't be able to just turn up on their own and get the vaccine. But clearly, there's going to be a lot of advertising and promotion to try to encourage as many children as possible to become vaccinated. And while we're on the subject of vaccinations and corona, because it's become kind of much less of a topic these days with Israeli economy open and things functioning almost back to what we remember it once upon a time. And there is a study that's been published which shows that 4,750 Israeli lives were saved between the middle of March and the end of June this year due to the country's mass vaccination campaign.
That is incredible.
And this is an actual empirical study.
Wow, that is really phenomenal.
This is really phenomenal, and it's not only about people's lives who have been saved as a result of them being vaccinated and therefore not succumbing to corona, but it's also about people's lives who have been saved as a result of them being able to get proper hospital treatment because the hospitals were not so overloaded with corona patients such that they were able to give proper treatment to people who came in requiring other care of all kinds, not necessarily corona related. Lots and lots of numbers and statistics within this particular study. Of course, there is the famous, you get lies, damn lies, and statistics. And so for those of us who are somewhat cynical about statistics, this is a great one for you to get your teeth into. But I think that anecdotally, it's very difficult to argue against the fact that the vaccination program that Israel has implemented has saved lives, and not only saved lives, but saved our economy, because one of the things that the study also addresses is how the previous lockdowns were used in order to try to control the disease and how much that cost the economy. They reckon that the three rounds of lockdown probably cost the Israeli economy something like 200 billion shekels. That's not an insignificant sum of money, and it's difficult to know exactly how it was spread around. But an interesting study for those who like these kinds of things, and a nice piece of meat for those who want to be cynical about statistics. But just one final comment on the issue of corona. Unfortunately, some of Israel's public health officials have been forced now to get security detail attached to them because of threats that they've been receiving both online and elsewhere from various, I think, anti-vaxxers. I think that this is the only way that I can understand it, that they've been receiving defamation, intimidation, threats of violence, and some of them have now been appointed security detail in order to protect them. And in fact, there have been some charges even laid against individuals who were arrested as a result of threats that they've issued against the public health officials. I think this is taking exhibit too far. You can be an anti-vaxxer if you wish. You know, we all have our issues, and I certainly don't agree with that approach, but if that's what you want, feel free. But when people take it to the level of actually issuing threat and defaming people and forcing public health officials to need bodyguards, then I think it's gone too far.
It's right now I'm using my, it's become a favorite quote. I heard it a couple of weeks ago at shul, in fact, where we were talking about maybe not allowing unvaccinated people to come onto the campus. And one of the lawyers, or an advocate rather, who presented as to why it's actually legal to why it is legal to stop people from coming onto campus if they haven't been vaccinated, if that's the decision. He gave this most amazing quote, and I believe it's attributed to Abraham Lincoln, and he says that my right to swing my arms ends at your nose. And I thought, I think, right, that is so fitting for this whole discussion.
I agree. I mean, I think unfortunately that this has gone way too far. I do understand that people who are in the camp of not believing in the vaccine for one reason or another have a certain axe to grind. Certainly within Israel, people who are not vaccinated are at a significant disadvantage because many places require to be vaccinated. We've discussed the fact that tourists are not allowed into Israel unless they've been vaccinated. Israel is definitely standing up and saying, we are a country that absolutely believes in vaccines, in people being vaccinated, and we are unashamed to say it very, very loudly. And if necessary, we will give certain advantages to people who have been vaccinated, because that is in the interests, as far as we're concerned, of the public good. The public good here comes to the fore, and when we go around, when we've been vaccinated, where we go around feeling that we need to be protected and we need to be safe. We want to go to restaurants. We want to go to supermarkets. We want to go to gyms. We want to go to public areas. Movie houses are open. We want to go and see a movie. Then we want to know that the other people in that area are doing as much as I'm doing in order to protect me, 100%. And I'm doing to protect them. So this is a two-way street, and unfortunately, for better or for worse, whether we like it or not, the medical information is pretty strong in supporting the fact that those people who are not vaccinated are a greater risk to the public good, not only in terms of being more liable to become infected themselves and to infect other people, but also the issue of using up hospital space and medical facilities, which can potentially be avoided and which we really need to preserve as much as we possibly can.
Absolutely right. Prime Minister Naftali Bennett has met with Bill Gates to promote the partnership in Israeli technology on climate issues. How's this partnership going to work?
You know, I think Bill Gates is still a thing, right? I mean, yesterday we spoke about being very 80s, and certainly Bill Gates is very much part of the 80s. But I think he's still a thing. And I think he's still a thing because he's got this massive foundation, which with huge sums of money that he has donated to the foundation. And the foundation is doing some really, really good things. One of the things that the Bill Gates Foundation is doing is looking to partner with other countries, other companies, other people in the whole area of research and development. And around the edges of the climate conference in Glasgow, Prime Minister Naftali Bennett met with Bill Gates, along with our energy minister as well, Karine El-Harar. We spoke about her yesterday. She was also present at the meeting. And they agreed that the Bill Gates Foundation would establish a working group, a joint working group with Israeli technology companies in order to move forward on the issue of climate innovation. So this is just really a step forward for the Prime Minister, which follows on his speech to the climate conference, where he offered Israel's technological innovation capability to try somehow to help the issue of climate control, to try to help the issue of emissions and pollution. And so Bill Gates very much saw this as an opportunity. He apparently is a person who respects very much Israel's capability. He praised Israel for its spirit of innovation. And he and Naftali Bennett agreed that the Bill Gates Foundation would become involved, obviously, in funding some of these technology innovations. I'm not quite sure if they can offer anything more than useful money to allow Israeli technology to move forward, research and develop the new things that which might be helpful. So I think that that's a really interesting thing. And, you know, Naftali Bennett does like to talk about Israel being the startup nation. He, of course, himself was part of that. He had a technological company which he sold out, and he did very well from. So he was definitely part of that. I think Israel has now migrated from being a startup nation to a scale-up nation. this is the way that things are viewed now. Whereas once upon a time, Israeli companies were very much in the starting phase, and just when they became interesting and they developed some sort of an interesting technology, were sold out to foreign companies. Now, Israeli companies are surviving longer and getting to that moment of potentially becoming a so-called unicorn, being valued at more than $1 billion before they're either going public. So there is a certain scale up within the Israeli economy. These startups are continuing to be funded by local money, not being sold out to foreign countries and companies, but rather being developed in-house in Israel and then going public or either being sold out at a much, much higher valuation. And I guess that links into the first story about the shekel being so strong, because a lot of that money comes back in, foreign currency needs to be sold out as a result, and it strengthens the shekel. So this is a great initiative, I think, with the Bill Gates Foundation. It can be interesting to see if anything new comes out of it.
Absolutely. And what is amazing and what I'm really enjoying is Naftali Bennett at these conferences. You can see how comfortable he is. You see the photos. His body language is very, very comfortable as he meets with various global leaders. I have to say that I'm very impressed with the style that he is bringing to the international stage. Anthony Reich, that's where we leave it. It is 8 o'clock. I'm Howard Feldman. We'll catch you tomorrow morning at 7:45.